Booming. Yup, that is the word for the industry we're going to talk about. Esports in India. With its 1.5 million players, 85 million viewers, and an expected compounded annual growth rate of 46% for the next 4 years, this industry is on fire, and fueling it are the companies that make it all happen. One such company which is leading the pack with its innovative and gamer-friendly platforms is Element Esports. In this episode, we're going to have a discussion with the man behind the veil and decipher what goes on behind the glamour. See you on the other side.
We welcome you to another episode of SCMS Speak It. This is Manudhi Yadav.
This is Shipra Agrawal.
And this is Abhishek Senghal, and we are going to be your hosts.
Today, we have with us Mr. Yagnadath Reddy, the COO of Element Esports by Haywire Gaming. It's a pleasure having you here with us, sir.
Yeah, same here, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
So to begin with this episode, could you tell us something about yourself and something about the company?
All right. Let me just start off by saying my company is not a one-man game, right? So it's me and my partner, Sohail. We both of us started this company in the January of 2020, where it all started off like it was just a joke. I remember it. The company was all like forming a company, standing down to form a team. It was just like a small discussion we were having over a couple of, having over dinner, right? So then it started on 2020 January, and then we sort of picked up a team. We sort of figured out what the esports industry was about, what all information was required to be gathered before we started the team, right? And that's how we started. That's pretty much how we started.
So at Element Esports, we take up multiple verticals, one of them being competitive. That's the most famous one. We also do content creation. That's our latest wing we have introduced. And number three is events. That's our future expansion. That's the one which we are working on currently. Well, to sum it up for you guys, we are a media platform and a competitive team, which has athletes and content creators and a lot of exciting stuff.
So, sir, as you talked about your friend and how it was a joke for you when you began, but ultimately, we all of us live in India, and here the kind of pressure to have a secure job, to study from good universities, slightly on a higher side. So given all of that, if you have to boil everything down to one incident, whether it be motivation, proclivity, or anything else, what would be the one that resulted into actually forming this company and registering it with the government of India and going ahead with this plan?
All right. The thing was I followed esports from 2013. That's pretty much throughout my college, right? Then it was not a big of a deal in India. And then as like one day we wake up, there's this new game around the street. Everybody's playing it. People are talking about a competitive scenario here. And then I was thinking about like sort of investing or doing something around it. And then my friend Sohail, I mentioned it to him. So he was like, okay, bro, if you are so interested, if you have the zeal to do it, then let's do it. Let's put in some money. Let's have some fun. That's pretty much how we sort of stepped in. And it was, to be honest, it was not as much as fun we thought it would be. But yeah, 2 years down the lane, it's now we are having the fun.
So, sir, as you mentioned that it wasn't all fun and games, could you tell us a few challenges that you faced during the inception stage of your journey? And if you could share your learnings from these challenges and that even help you out today.
Sure. So the first challenge we faced was when we projected ourselves to be gamers or people who ran a gaming company. People would ask me a simple question: is it gambling? Everybody around me always thought gaming is gambling, right? But it almost took me a couple of months to answer people. I still have those questions: is gaming gambling? First, I would like to start off by answering that question. We're not talking about gambling here, because gaming and gambling sound pretty much the same thing to any normal guy, but for a guy who's been into for a kid who's involved in a game for more than 10 years or 5 years or pretty much the best part of his life, gaming is what deals with a few instincts, a few talent, based things like reaction time, your how is your in-game sense, how does your mind work when you play a game, right? So that was the first challenge. Honestly, one thing, if there's something I learned from the whole thing, was you can't explain yourself to a lot of people. Okay, you sort of pick up the idea, work for it, and then people start understanding what you actually are intending to do. That's what happened in our case too. We started working on it, and then people popped up in different tournaments. People saw us, and then they were like, okay, I understand what gaming is. What do you guys do? Now I understand.
Right, sir.
So, sir, you founded this company in January 2020. So what belief that the country was ready for esports, especially prior to the pandemic?
Honestly, we never thought of it in that way, ki if we would be accepted countrywide or not. It was honestly a college passion both of us had. We always wanted to do something together. So this was a very exciting way to start off. And then the first thing that had happened was Jan 2020 is the inception. Feb 2020 is Corona. Right? So it was like, it almost started when it almost went to an end. But we were wrong to think of that Corona would be the end of gaming. But that sort of helped us a lot because of so many people sitting at home, having nothing to do. There was like how OTT platforms grew up. Also, gaming went up because people, like, you know, there was, it's two different sorts of, you know, mindsets. A guy wants to watch a movie, a guy wants to play a game. And both of them indeed could not stop doing either of them. So that's how pandemic sort of helped us. But yeah, that's...
Timing couldn't have been better. In fact, it reminds me of the Paytm story, company which struggles to influence an average Indian to adopt online payments for a long time. And in 2016, the episode of demonetization acts as a huge catalyst for online payments adoption. And I think it was a major reason for the financial success we see of Paytm today, it being a multi-billion dollar company and going through the roof in terms of valuation. So going forward, I have a question. The kind of international relations India has with China aren't very fruitful for any of the businesses. And considering last year's ban on Chinese origin apps, some 150-200 apps were banned on Play Store and Apple Store. And one amongst those very prominent bans was the game PUBG. So how do you see this thing panning out for companies like yours?
So yeah, Abhishek, like I told you, everybody starts off doing nothing in a business, right? So we thought, well, as soon as the whole PUBG ban hit us, we thought it's going to be the end of us. But then we sort of started exploring. That's when we started getting into the content creation. We created something called the eTalks. We did two seasons of it, which was pretty successful. We almost hit 2 million hits on the second season. And then that's when we learned gaming is not just about one game or just about one particular aspect, or it's not about a country's relationship with the other. It's more about what the kid thinks, what your viewer, average viewer thinks about the game. And in our case, honestly, I feel PUBG, if it had to be banned, it had to be banned because the country's relationships were straining out, and we wouldn't want stuff like that. We wouldn't want a country's, like, you know, country's respect to be put at stake in, like, for a small game, right? But then the honest reality behind it is when the game got banned and people like India had almost 40 or 50 million odd players, all of them stayed strong, expected for the best, sort of stuck to each other, kept hoping the game would come back, which it did. Honestly, if you would have seen, PUBG is now BGMI in India, Battlegrounds Mobile India. They have launched a whole new game, a whole new server. We are completely excluded from everybody else, and India now has its own server. See, that's what I feel gaming in India. That's one statement there where the country bans an app because of its relationship with the other, and then the game comes back with such enormous, tremendous love and affection towards the country that they release something completely new, registered in India, everything. It's trademarked in India. Everything is done in the country. So I feel that's like one thing we give them and they give us back. Now we are even, I feel.
Absolutely. That truly demonstrates the kind of power consumers have.
So, considering your love for the sports and you being a player, could you tell us what is the life cycle of an esport athlete? And if you could also give insights about the economic journey and the viability of it.
Yeah, first to correct you there, I was never an athlete myself, because we call ourselves athletes, not players, by the way. And I was merely a spectator for the better half of my life. And then as soon as I got in the industry, that's when I understood different verticals of gaming. And honestly, the shelf life of any gamer is very small, to be honest, because gaming is all about your mind, how your mind works. And it has to be at the peak of its performance, like your reflex, your reaction time, and how you use what your surroundings are telling you in the game. That's the game sense, right? So this is a combination of all the three, which you have to match and sort of perform at that particular instant. So a shelf life of any gamer is anywhere between 2 to 5 years as a competitive player. That's the big stake for you. I'm not saying that's where it ends, but that's pretty much the average span of how long of a career you can have in gaming. 2 to 5 years. Few people end it in 6 months. Few people end it in 10 years. Depending upon how much talent and how strong your brain is, that's sort of decides how long of a career you can have. Well, if you would come back to the question, how do they start? All of these guys, sort of, it's a very informal industry. If you guys are like know it, they make a team, they start playing with each other. It might be any game. Currently, India caters to BGMI Battlegrounds Mobile India. Formerly it was PUBG. We have Free Fire. That is a very brilliant booming game. We have Call of Duty Mobile. That's also a brilliant game. And then we have Valorant. That's on PC. See, Valorant is a new game coming in the PC era to India and making an impact. But coming back to your original question, with so many games being there, people always have that choice to locate themselves amidst one of them. They form a team, they come to an org or they come to a competition, perform and like showcase their skills. Out of which a few people don't make it. A few people are selected and picked. They are refined from there. They are trained. We have a coach. All of them have a coach. They are trained to perform at tremendous pressure. When $1 million is online, maybe your gun doesn't work the way it does when you're at home, right? So there's a lot of mental training here. Yet these guys are trained and coached to sort of streamline performance to be like, you know, attained from these guys. So that's how it starts off for them. Most of them, honestly, they start off playing games, they perform, and then when they grow old, that's when they sort of get into the content creation aspect of it.
So moving on, I want to understand the viability of a person pursuing this career full time, given that the average span of a career for an average person is anywhere from 2 to 5 years, as mentioned. And I want to understand this in the light of the viability of business models companies like yours have, because ultimately the number of consumers pursuing this career full time has a direct impact on the revenue your businesses generate.
Well, like you said, we have very high numbers. We have a huge pool. Around 50% of India is actually, you know, can be an esports athlete if they want to. But like I told you, there's only 3 to 6 years of age when they can actually spend time on the gaming aspect or the competitive aspect at least. So what these guys do later in their age, they start making content as in surrounding the game they play. It might be a shooter, it might be a strategy game, it might be a different, like it might be a driving game, wagera wagera. So they sort of pick up a few skills which they can trust for the rest of their life and start making videos around it. There are a few people like Scout, that's an Indian guy who's currently the top esports athlete, and there's Jonathan that's a top esports athlete. These guys are the current trend right now. But there's also godfathers like Shroud, who was once upon a time the best guy, and the records he's put up, nobody could ever break them. That guy is now old. He's doing content, creates content for Cloud9. So that's how these guys sort of, you know, shuffle their places. And to be honest with you, the shelf, it's not the same. Not every esport competitive player is a very good content creator, because it takes a different set of skill sets. Like, I mean, it's a completely different genre. So it's sort of, you sort of have to have the whole thing, build yourself from the day one to be a content creator, or build yourself from the day one to be the best gaming geek out there. So it sort of is a very hard balance to maintain for these guys.
So given it's been almost 2 years since you started your own venture and you might have gone through a lot of ups and downs throughout this journey, what is one advice you would like to give to our fellow listeners who have an entrepreneurial spirit within them and want to start something of their own, irrespective of the industry they really want to start it in?
Well, there's only one thing I'd like to tell you guys. I mean, company sort of has to be balanced. There have to be bad things which happen and there have to be good things which will happen. There's no company or there's no idea, no venture which has all positives and none negatives, right? So it's sort of, it's in my case, I feel like I've sort of figured out the negatives and hit the very sort of dead ends at the very, very beginning. It might happen to you at a very, very later stage. 20 years down the line, you're running a $1 billion company, you might hit a massive dead end. So it's sort of, the whole lesson is to sort of buck up. And we are Indians, right? I mean, Indians are jugaad, right? So if you know what jugaad is, that's the sort of basic phenomenon I have been following, or my friends have been following for the, like, you know, almost the whole life. Is to sort of make up your mind to have achieved something and then sort of keep working towards it persistently, irrespective of what your outcomes are, irrespective of what, how bad you're doing, how good you're doing. That should never alter what the end goal is. I mean, if you have a set rule, you keep working to it. Success or failure keeps happening. You have to balance the books out. Where there's a success, there's always a failure. It doesn't work the other way. So that's about it. Keep working. If you are failing multiple times, correct yourself. Even if after your corrections, there are multiple iterations where you might fail, but that doesn't mean that's a dead end. If you feel the problem you have identified has a solution, it always will. And just work towards it. That's about it.
Those were some truly inspiring words, sir. And I hope that every listener out there has something to take back out of this conversation. With that, thank you so much for your time, Mr. Reddy.
This was Mr. Yagnadath Reddy, the co-founder of Element Esports. We thank you all for joining in. We'll be back next week with yet another inspiring and insightful episode of SCMS Speak It. So stay tuned and have a great day.